The Undergrad, the official podcast of Western student newspaper, The Gazette. Today we're talking about campus publications, and we have a room full of women. What's up? We also have a lot of things we're going to be talking about. We're going to talk about a very diverse spectrum of not only writing, but content that we're going to be covering. We have some publications that are from independent ventures, and we have some publications that are from student councils. So we're going to see what's going to be happening. And thank you so much for joining us. Let's get it started. What's up, y'all? You are listening to The Undergrads. As stated at the beginning, my name is Samah Ali, and I'm a culture editor at the Western Gazette, and I have a room full of excellent, awesome people. Do you guys want to introduce yourselves?
So I'm Grace. I'm a science student, three-year science student. I'm one of the senior editors at The Current.
Hey, my name is Alero. I'm the editor-in-chief for the Arts and Humanities Student Council. So we run Symposium and Semicolon. And I'm also a fourth year doing an honors special in creative writing.
I'm Emma Cohen. I'm in second year creative writing in SASA, and I am one of the co-editors-in-chief of Iconoclast.
My name is Emily Wood. I am in second year in women's studies and creative writing, and I am also one of the co-editors-in-chief of Iconoclast Collective.
So today, guys, we're going to be talking about publications. How lit, right? Everybody here writes for publication or edits for a publication, and I just want to know a little bit more about that. But before we go into it, we're just going to shout people out. Who wants to start? Who wants to holla at them? Holla at your person?
I can go. Mm-hmm. So since we're talking about publications, I was thinking about one that I really admire on campus that I'm not personally a part of, but I've been following since first year, which is Volta. And I think that they do a really good job with their vision. And so I'm hollering at Marcel, who's the editor of Volta.
Mm-hmm. So the editors of Volta is Marcel Sikalski and Claire Henderson. Emma, I'm on the same page as you. Love them. Yeah. They're like the Vogue on campus.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. Super fashionable.
100%. It's also kind of intimidating. It's like, wow.
Yeah, but like I like being intimidated by them, so it's okay.
You approve of the intimidation.
Yeah, definitely.
Who else is hollering at someone?
I'm just going to holler out at Bethia and Stephanie, who are also part of The Current.
Mm. Yeah. Anybody else? Is somebody else to holler at?
Yeah, I wanted to holler at Tate Retchin. She's actually our events director for Iconoclast, and she does a lot of super cool like artwork in her spare time. She's in visual arts, and she's pursuing Ivy as well. So she's like multifaceted and awesome. And yeah, I appreciate her a lot. She's on Instagram, and yeah, cool gal.
And what about you, Alera? Who do you want to holler at?
I'm going to holler at my publications committee. Mm-hmm. So I have a committee of like 10 super awesome ladies, and they've been helping me with putting together Semicolon and Symposium this year, and they've been so easy to work with and so easy to just they've been very easy to get together, and they've been very dedicated over the last 2 months, especially when essays hit. So like, they are awesome, and I love you guys.
So we just have like a squad of people that we just want to shout out. I mean, like, when here at Western, we're so diverse, so I'm glad that we have different people that we can always just shout out to and be like, yes, you're doing good work, good job. Who I'm shouting out is a special friend of mine and somebody I've been working on a documentary with, the lovely Jenny J. You can catch her on Twitter at the JJ Collective, or on her Instagram or Facebook page, which is the double spelled out, J-J-A-Y Collective. I definitely recommend you guys check her out. She's an excellent photographer, always doing headshots for people. She, in fact, did my LinkedIn headshot. She just did a few graduation photos. And she's just an excellent person to work with. We're compatible. She's a Capricorn, and I'm a Taurus. So that's, I mean, so important. That's probably why we get along so well, but she's also just an incredible human being. She was on the podcast a few weeks ago, and if you guys don't know her, familiarize yourself with her work. Moving right along, like we mentioned at the beginning, publications. We'll start with the ones that are Western affiliated, and then we'll get to the alternative. So Grace, what do you do at The Current?
So this year, I'm one of the senior editors alongside Stephanie, So basically, it's going to be like a new format this year, because previously we kind of tried to write about other science stuff that's going on in the world, and that didn't really appeal to the science students here at Western. So we're trying to write more articles that would maybe relate back to Western more. So that's what we're trying to do this year. That's different.
And you guys obviously read about science. So how do you find that appeal when you are gearing your work towards a science-based audience, but a lot of science kids are kind of like anti-essay or like anti like written work? What do you think about that?
We're trying to like do, it's not, we're not really exactly publishing like journal or research finding. It's kind of like, what's the science behind getting a tattoo? Like what happens? Why is it, why is the ink permanent? Kind of like that, right? So it's kind of like everyday things. Like you don't have to be in science to understand it per se, right? So we're kind of gearing it towards like, it's a science topic, but other students, other people could easily understand it. Yeah.
And where is most of your publications found?
So this year, actually, we're, all of our stuff is going to be online. We're trying like a weekly, one article per week kind of thing, because our team's pretty small this year, right? Previous years, we had enough in the council budget to actually have like two publications a year, but this year they cut our budget. So instead, for our, we're trying to get funding for our second like in paper publication by going to like academic counseling, see if they can fund like the an ITR issue for science students. Yeah,
you know, I always found it so interesting because there's something romantic about print. Of just seeing your name printed, oh my God, it's really it's probably one of the best like exhilarating feelings when you first start out. But then as you've seen like the industry kind of like not only lose funding but run away from that concept, it's really interesting to see all the alternative methods. So you said that a lot of things are going online. How could people read your content?
So we do have a Facebook page. We have a WordPress blog. So what we do is that we post things on the blog and then we share it on Facebook like the same day.
Cool. Yeah. So people should check that out. What about you, Alara? What do you do?
So like I said, I'm on the Arts and Humanities Student Council. And we have two publications. They used to be only annually, and then like opposite to you, we got more added to our budget. So we were able to do it biannually. So we publish the two publications, Semicolon and Symposium. We publish them once per semester. So one of them is for creative works, and that's Symposium. This semester we didn't really have a theme. It was just kind of looking at good creative works full of originality and that were relatable and that that evoked a feeling in the reader. And as for Semicolon, that's our essays, so academic essays from the arts and humanities students. And we have, we accept A grade level essays, so essays that have gotten above an 80% or above, and we sift through them to just give those person, the people that are able to get an 80 on those essays, the recognition that they deserve. Because it is very hard as a student to get your essays especially published. You kind of write them and then they just go away in a pile, and we're there to be like, oh, remember that time you wrote that really good essay? Yeah, so do we. Now it's published. So
that's really nice. So it's kind of like an internally run like student anthology of essays. That's really important, especially when people go into academia and you see you want to get published, you want to get this bomb essay published. Like,
oh my God.
Semicolon's kind of like the beginning of that.
Yeah, that's what we're there for. We're trying to get the art students to get some publications under their belts or to recognize those who are able, who have good enough works that they can publish them.
Now I'll turn it over to the two. The infamous two. Do you guys want to start and talk about what Iconoclast is?
Yeah, it's kind of something that we've been working on trying to explain. I guess Iconoclast Collective is both a publication and a collective in a larger sense. So we are publishing, our first issue is just coming out this year and should be available at our launch party, plug, which is next Thursday at Filthy Rubina downtown.
Can you give people a date so they actually know when it's going
to
happen?
Yeah, November 24th.
7 to 9 p.m.
So yeah, basically we wanted to start a publication that is interdisciplinary, that doesn't focus specifically on one faculty, that kind of can branch out to a variety of mediums. So our first issue is pretty visually heavy with a lot of photography and art as well as writing.
Yeah, I mean, I think like the main focus that we kind of wanted to give people an outlet for stuff that I guess is kind of unpublishable in other forums. So kind of stuff that maybe like you don't get the opportunity to talk about in science, or say you're like, I don't know, you're in creative writing, but you maybe want to take on politics. We really wanted to kind of bring people together in a way to get the kind of most diverse range of perspectives and thoughts and ideas as we could.
Yeah, one of our main things is trying to tackle and touch on like broader concepts through a more like personal lens, mm-hmm. and we really don't have any limitations on what kind of work we accept as long as we feel like people are pushing boundaries with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know a huge thing for me was kind of representation across a lot of marginalized identities on campus.
Mm-hmm.
Western kind of has a homogenous reputation of being very white, very upper middle class, very business driven, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So a lot of what I wanted to do was really amplify voices to give visibility, but to also kind of, you know, claim a voice in a space like Western.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really, like, I've been talking a lot about it recently with a lot of people. We've recognized that Western has a very conservative campus,
mm-hmm.
whether that's just, like, in terms of views, like, political views, or, like, discussion. So you'll have people who might say, like, oh, yeah, I'm a Trump supporter. But you kind of ask them why, and you're like, mm-hmm. they don't talk about it a little more. Or you want to introduce, like, a kind of, like, dare I say, daring topic. Mm-hmm. Bradley last year, he's kind of infamously known for his columns. Bradley's digital managing editor at the Gazette, and he wrote a column about fraternities and sororities, kind of just like why Greek life is not really hype. Yeah. And people came after him. And it's just like that inability to listen to somebody else's opinions. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of like what publishing's about, right? I do want to know why people are interested in tattoos. Like, what's the science behind it? That's so cool. Mm-hmm. Is that an article that you're actually working on for next issue of The Current?
The article is in the works.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be published, like, in paper.
Mm-hmm.
But because, like I said, what we do is, like, we have an article up every week, so a new one every week. So mm-hmm. it just depends on when the writers get back to us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I really, just branching off that, the fact that we are kind of tied to, like, this print, like this idea of print, the romanticized, like rose-tinted glasses, oh my god, print. And even at the Gazette, we're still kind of tied to that. I would also extend this to Open Wide as well and Volta. Some of my friends are in Volta, and like Emma said, like shout out to Marcel
mm-hmm.
And Claire. We have this idea of like print kind of being like the be-all end-all like product, and like online printing or online publishing isn't necessarily like the same thing. What do you guys think about that? Do you think that, like, just based on the way the industry is going, do you want a print to be a medium that stays alive?
I think that online provides a lot more accessibility, so that's definitely why it's appealing, especially for people who, like us, who are like young and just starting off, who don't necessarily have a lot of like funding or financial backing. It's a really good way to start.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that print offers like a different quality of experience than online, and it also seems sometimes to be more permanent,
mm-hmm.
in a sense. Something that we are wanting to do with Icon is to have our print issues be kind of like an art piece within themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So like a specific physical thing that you can hold that's coherent, that has like individual art pieces or like political pieces or whatever inside of them, but also is like a tangible form. So that's something a bit different than like the venue of online offers.
Yeah, I would say like the comment section as like an entity is kind of something that you don't have to deal with in print. And like as much as that's valuable, and obviously multiple opinions are very valuable and we do support that, there's something about the kind of like, especially the self-care of kind of telling your story and being with a reader that you experience through kind of like a physical copy of your piece versus, you know, having people firing back, trolls. You know, I think you can still have that conversation within an isolated vacuum of your own experience,
mm-hmm.
And you can really talk to a reader without necessarily having to kind of have a proliferation of people, you know, like clicking the like button on your piece and
mm-hmm.
sharing it and, you know, that kind of repetition. So I think there is something special there for mm-hmm. sure.
Ella, I saw you like nodding your head at one
yeah.
point. Do you want to just like expand?
Yeah, I'm going to get in here.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I am a huge fan of print,
mm-hmm.
just because I I think it goes back to that romantic quality that you were speaking about earlier, about being able to see your print is great, and having that accessibility to share it with your friends online and across countries and continents. I think that is amazing. Mm-hmm. But I also think there is something to be said for engaging your senses in something that you've accomplished. So not only just being able to see it, but being able to touch it, to feel your name in print, to smell the freshness of the paper says you have been published, to be able to see and engage your senses in that way, I think it makes the accomplishment more tangible, and it sinks in a better way.
Mm-hmm. So do any of us see like a future of us like actually publishing or going into publishing work? Maybe that's like books, maybe that's like actual magazines. Oh, like, do we model ourselves after anything?
The stigma about like how competitive it is to get into the editing and publishing industry, that just
so intimidating.
It's very intimidating.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that kind of the pressure, I think, of being in print is something that's very, very real.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I often restrict myself about where I publish because I feel intimidated by print, because I kind of feel like there's, especially like a literary culture around print as being kind of like the be-all, end-all, and literary journals in general, I think are kind of, they function kind of as an exclusive club at times.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, I preach about them all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I love Rookie Magazine.
Yeah, I saw that. Have you been published in that?
Yes, yeah. Ooh. I recently, over the summer, I started writing for them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been an amazing experience. They have a super diverse team. One of the editors, Diamond Sharp, we'll go back and forth on Twitter all the time.
I love it. Twitter.
Mm-hmm. We twit. but yeah, I love their forum.
Mm-hmm.
I love what they stand for.
Yeah.
And yeah.
You know, I find like Twitter an excellent medium for the industry. I was talking to a few friends before, and we were just saying how like Twitter has just become a networking website where like not only do you share pieces that like you've written or other people have written, and you're like, this is bomb, but like it's also a great opportunity to be like, yeah, that person follows me on Twitter. Like the other day, Cameron Bailey followed me on Twitter, and if anyone knows who Cameron Bailey is, the artistic director at TIFF, I was like, this is my moment. I will succeed you. Inshallah. Yeah. Like, period, point blank. So exciting. It's just become a networking, like, opportunity. Grace, what do you think about, like, not only Twitter as a medium, but, like, do you feel like anything kind of restricts you within science? Because it is kind of a niche audience that you're going for.
Yeah. So I know a lot of the news that people want to read today is just like, how does this affect like my life today, right? So like science doesn't really explain much. It's like it's mostly politics, economy, stuff like that, right? But what really just gets me is that a bunch of like newspapers and magazines, they don't really understand the science behind it. If there's like a study that was released in like say biology or something about like a miracle gene that's gonna cure cancer, it's not actually gonna cure cancer. Right? Yeah. They just hype it up a lot. So I feel like there's just a lot of like disconnect between like the understanding that goes on in like, you know, newspapers or other journals that aren't science related. They kind of like, yeah, it's like, I feel like it's also for headlines as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of to attract like the audience too, like if there is a miracle thing. So I think there's like a lot of like the general population kind of expects more out of the science because they think that like, oh, it's so easy to like find a gene that cures cancer or whatever, right?
You know, I think it would be really cool if, like, I don't know if you guys already know, or Grace, if you could just, like, shout it out, but I'm a huge fan of the show Mythbusters.
Yeah.
And just, like, looking at the science or, like, if something is actually feasible. Mm-hmm. So, like, if The Walking Dead, I want to know why they never wonder about gas. Like, doesn't gas expire? Like, that is something I would want to know. That's, like, a core concept of the show. Like, they get around in, like, cars and, like, motorcycles, and I'm just like, all right, that's really cool. But, like, let's just talk about how you're getting around, because I know gas, first of all, might be free because it's kind of a lawless society, but doesn't gas expire? Like, that's something that I'd be really interested in reading.
Yeah, I feel like we do pitch around ideas a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So that was an idea that we could kind of do, like, oh, is this real or not? Like, is this doable? Kind of, like, see the science behind, like, action movies, because a lot of, like, the physics around that doesn't really, like, add up. That.
Oh.
Yeah.
Falling from a building, being fine. It's like, you should have left a dent.
Just a little.
Died.
Yeah, you should have done that too.
Yes.
I like the realness in Luke Cage where, like, he actually throws the guy off, like, a balcony and, like, he actually dies. It's like, you know what? This makes sense compared to, like, other action movies where they just kind of get up, like, oh, brush shoulders, like, another day, like, just falling off of these things. So do you guys, we have talked about online, so I know Symposium is more like printed.
Yeah.
Do you think that you guys will ever go into online?
As far as I know, mm-hmm. we actually do publish our every edition online, mm-hmm. like on our archives on our website.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure why. I think the reason it's more printed is because I think, especially in comparison to semicolon, which is essays, people want to read more of the creative aspects. Mm-hmm. Like you said about the literary journals, they have their own sort of culture around them. So I think that's why we put them more in print. And we do circulate them online, but we don't push for them to be circulated online.
It's more of an art piece.
It's more, exactly. It's more of an art piece.
I really like that. I know at Open Wide, I used to work for them. I used to be the Western Life editor last year. Shout out to Open Wide. They're the FIMS alternative magazine publication. What we used to do is we would have, obviously, a printed issue. And then we would post some of the articles online. So that would kind of be a throw to, like, go check it out in print. Obviously, it's a North Campus building. They actually have their current edition out right now. But I think I always thought that was a really smart idea. I know a lot of publications in the industry, they put a feature story like months later online, or they put like a little tidbit of like a really interesting interview with like, let's just say Nicki Minaj or like the Smith children, and they have like a little throw online, a little bit like a little teaser, but they want you to go and buy the publication. I think that also like that attraction to print puts up their revenue because clickbait.
Mm-hmm. It's funny that you mentioned that. I was reading an interview yesterday between mm-hmm. Sheila Hetty and Alana Ferrante. Mm-hmm. That's how you pronounce her name. And it was like full interview in the Brick Literary Journal, and mm-hmm. I was like, now I have to go buy this, right? Yeah, so yeah, very interesting how they like kind of interact and mm-hmm. play with each other. Yeah. So
I also found that a lot more publications are like going into like alternative media online, so like podcasting and like more longer form videos. Do you guys like have any ambitions of like your publications doing these things, or any publications you really model after or love?
Yeah, we're actually trying that out at the current, like we're doing, Bethia's actually really good at like, she's into like the graphics, mm-hmm. Videoing kind of thing.
Yeah.
So she's kind of, her goal this year is to pump out like 4 videos this year, mm-hmm. right? That's related to like the science faculty. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, like those mean tweets that Jimmy Kimmel does?
Yeah.
Like, so we're kind of doing that for like the science professors, like reading the reviews kind of thing.
Oh, that's so smart.
That's so sad.
Yeah. Sorry, that one's in the works. Yeah.
I would watch that. I'd share that.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. It's all about sharing these days,
yeah.
eh?
Yeah.
You got to get some of the popular profs too, right? Like, you got to get like Haffy mm-hmm. and like.
Yeah.
Is Zinky still around?
Zinky, actually, he does not teach physics anymore. I think he's been bumped to like astronomy or something.
Yeah, that's correct. My roommate was in his astronomy course.
Yeah, so the first years aren't taking Zinky physics anymore.
She dropped it. Yeah.
I was going to say. What a time to not be alive. I remember like when Zinky physics used to be the thing in
it
first year.
It was the thing. Yeah. Zinky the physics, thing. Haffy bio.
Exactly.
Done. Oh, and psych with Mike.
Oh yeah.
Those are the three.
I love how we have like these little terminologies for things. Do you guys model yourselves after anybody that you admire in your requisite industries?
Yeah. This is so lame, but you know, the proposal, mm-hmm. How like it starts off with Sandra Bullock and Ryan Reynolds, and she's like running on the treadmill reading a manuscript, mm-hmm. and she's just such a boss lady.
Yeah.
And you're sitting, that was when I looked and I was like, you know what? That's the kind of editor I want to be, because mm-hmm. she's so, maybe not that rude, because you know, I don't want to be a savage, but you know, being assertive and in charge and knowing what you want, I was like, that's how I want to be. So that's how I try and run the pubs committee, where you have your group of people that are, you know, you're working together, but you at the same time you're focused on the vision, and there's no time for a chat, but it's like when you're in the meetings, you're in the publications meeting and you're talking about the publications at hand, and then you can talk about like, I don't know, Life with Derek conspiracy theories afterwards.
Life with Derek, like the show?
Yeah. Daisy, have you heard of that? The video's online.
What?
Daisy?
Conspiracy?
Oh my God, like they
Casey and Derek, like dating secretly. Oh, it's so weird. But that came up during one of our meetings, and I was like, this is going to have to wait because this is a conversation we need to have.
This is a conversation.
We need to talk about this.
There is some sexual tension there, though.
Exactly. 100%. It's actually just a video of scenes where like the sexual tension is palpable, and you're like, oh.
Just
yeah, just a little bit, and at the same time you're like, oh,
so creepy.
Oh, that's so cute.
We're like, we're the act. actual actor and actress, like, were they dating?
I don't know. Oh, I don't think they could be. And if they were, they probably wouldn't release it.
Yeah.
I feel like that'd be too illicit for, like, Family Channel.
I can't breathe. Stresses me out.
Any other people you guys, like, really admire or model yourself after?
I love Miranda July because she kind of is just, like, I don't limit myself to anything. Like, she has, like, so many different projects and so many different media. She's like, I'm gonna write a short story collection, then I'm gonna go make this film, then I'm gonna do a collection, like, a book about, like, emails and stuff. And, like, she's always just, like, banging out work. She really has kind of, I think, carved this path for herself in the industry. Versus kind of aiming at stuff that's already in place. So I'm a writer predominantly, but I really want to get into photography and filmmaking. So she's one of my role models for sure. She's super cool.
I just really love Quinta B. Quinta B from BuzzFeed. You guys know her face. Honestly, just Google Quinta B, you'll know. I admire her work. Incredible. I also, like, love Cameron Bailey, but, like, we already mentioned that.
Twitter.
We're going to move right along, guys, and we're going to talk about binging and what we've been binging this week. Does anyone want to start? Because I already have my thing on the tip of my tongue.
I mentioned her already. Sheila Hetty, she's a Toronto writer. She was actually the writer in residence at Western, like, 4 years ago.
You've done your research.
Yeah, see, I only heard this actually through, like, my friend's writing prof or something, I don't know. But I love her work. I've been, like, obsessively rereading her book, How Should a Person Be, which is keeping on this theme of, like, genre bending. It's like half play, half nonfiction, half fiction. Like, it's incredible. The main character is named Sheila as well. It's so bomb and, like, so meta. And it really just tackles, like, how should a person be in, like, this very strange but awesome way as well. So, yeah.
I really like that.
Love it.
Anyone else have anything they've been doing this week or not?
This goes against everything I just said about, like, science being media, but
this is,
like,
good.
But I'm re-binging on, like, the Fast and Furious series.
Yes! Ooh.
There's just something about them. I just don't, like, it's so wrong because, like, I'm pretty sure they should have died, like, all every single one of them. But they're all, like, you know.
But, I mean, like, you had to keep the storyline going somehow. Do you have something that you've been binging this week?
Mine's embarrassing. I've told people have asked me, like, they've seen me watching it. They're like, what are you watching? And I'm like, don't worry about it. Like, I'm watching Awkward, and I don't know if you've heard of it.
Yeah, I know.
It's like
about
Awkward with a period. And it's just, I feel so lame watching it, but it's just about this girl who's in high school and the most awkward things happen to her. And you know in TV shows where they try and make teenage like, teenage interactions really awkward and weird, and you're like, oh, that wouldn't happen. Like, you're sitting here cringing at your Terry. You're like, what is, oh, God, your mother is, oh, Lordy. Just, like, you're just, it's just, it gets you off your seat and it makes you uncomfortable, and I love that.
You should watch Awkward Black Girl, like, the.
What?
Like, have you heard of that?
No.
Okay, Awkward Black Girl is a web series by Issa Rae. Oh, and then now, Issa Rae has been signed to HBO, and she has her own show. It's called Insecure. It's essentially kind of adapted from Awkward Black Girl. Heavily recommend if you're a fan of Awkward.
It's incredible. I live Awkward. I love it.
I have, like, I just love animal documentaries, guys. Like, I watch BBC Earth for fun. Like, it's my thing. And then my friend and I, we were having dinner this weekend, and he was like, you should watch Walking with Dinosaurs. And I was like, you don't know how much I love dinosaurs. I'm going to do this. And what I'm doing? Watching Walking with Dinosaurs. And then after I finished that, what am I going to do? Walking with Creatures. So excited. And then it doesn't end there. Walking with Monsters. Let's do it, guys. And as the years goes on, the CGIs just get so much better. And I'm thrilled. I'm so excited for the opportunities. I'm already, like, my heart is, like, racing when I watch the dinosaurs. Like, I don't think you guys understand. I watched Jurassic World, that terrible movie, just because of the dinosaurs. Totally okay with it. I mean, Chris Evans was nice to look out here and there. But, like, dinosaurs in a movie, catch me. Catch me there. Anyways, this has been swell. Thank you guys so much for listening. Can I just give, a huge thank you to all the people who are in the studio? Like, yes! Nah. So how can people reach you guys? How can they get in contact with you?
Iconoclast is on Facebook. Mm-hmm. Basically, if you type in Iconoclast UWO, you'll get to us. We're on Twitter. We have a website, iconoclastuwo.com. And yeah, Twitter DM me. I'm also on Twitter. So whatever, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cool. Well, three ways. First one, you can come to our office. So we have our office in International and Graduate Affairs Building in, okay, it's in 0N20D. It's in the basement. Don't worry, we're going to help you out if you need to get there. But the office is open all week. Or you can email us at ahscpubs@gmail.com. We usually check that email. And if it's anything publications related, we got you. And last but not least, like Iconoclast, we actually have our launch party the week after them, so on December 1st from 7 to 9:30 p.m. We're going to be handing out copies of Symposium and Semicolon there, so if you wanted to see a copy or you want to just pick up or see what it's all about, we're going to be there.
Excellent. Grace, what about you?
So the Current has a Facebook page, so that has all of our links. It's got like our email and like the WordPress website, so yeah, you could reach us there.
Mm-hmm. I'm so excited, and as always, you guys can reach me at Sister Samah on Twitter, S-A-M-A-H. It's been a wonderful time, fabulous, and we will see each other, or at least you'll listen to me and to the people that I have in this dude next week. We'll be talking about another fun thing, and we're just going to be having a great discussion. Excelente, so glad you could join us. See you guys soon, and talk soon. Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.